From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into another edition of Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you this week. We're going to talk with veteran baseball writer Kevin Kernan from ball9.com. He's going to talk to us about what's going on in the Bronx with the Yankees. Also, from MLBBro.com, Brandon Carr will talk to us about Bobby Bonilla Day. Yes, it has come again. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
Shohei Me the Money Ohtani is at it again. He's taking his show to Broadway, to the Bronx, and the New York Yankees as the Angels have come to town. And boy, what a performance he's put on a show with three home runs in the first two games. Against the Yankees. And on Wednesday night, he was scheduled to be on the mound to pitch in the Bronx. And I don't know about you, but if you were a guy who remember when he was coming to the United States to play baseball, and I think the Yankees were a finalist, and he wound up picking the Angels over the Yankees. And now you look at this two-way star, you say to yourself, the Yankees needed him. Especially when you talk about the left-handed bat, the short porch at Yankee Stadium. He was built to play at Yankee Stadium, and instead, he's in Anaheim playing for the Angels, and imagine what a star. I mean, he's already a must-see TV and a star, but imagine if he was playing in the Bronx and he picked the Yankees instead of the Angels.
Number two.
Here we go again. The most hated team in baseball, the Houston Astros, are in first place in the AL West, a game and a half ahead of the Oakland A's as of Wednesday. And Houston is now falling on some hard times. Coming into Wednesday, they had lost 4 or 5. But prior to that, you know, they had that 11-game winning streak. They had won 15 out of 17. And came roaring back. And Dusty Baker, the manager there in Houston, it's been incredible. You remember last year they made the playoffs. They made a run. People were afraid that they might even get to the World Series last year. But the Astros, despite what they've been through with the cheating scandal and the trash cans, losing an ace like Justin Verlander this year, they're still making it happen. And the Astros, here's a number for you. Because they're doing it with their bats. Their run differential this year, plus 130. Plus 130 runs. The next closest coming into Wednesday were the was Tampa Bay with plus 84. How about this for comparison? The Yankees are at zero coming into Wednesday, run differential. They're giving up as many runs as they're scoring. But when it comes to Houston, plus 130, that's why they're in first place. 1.5 game lead over the A's as we enter Wednesday night.
Number three.
We also have a couple of news headlines that's played out, including Dodgers starter Trevor Bauer, who's now facing allegations of assault, which stems from a previous sexual encounter with a woman earlier this year. So, you know, Trevor Bauer in a little bit of hot water. Obviously, there's going to be an investigation. Trevor Bauer, of course, denies the allegations. His attorney in a lengthy statement said that there was no wrongdoing on the part of his client. But no doubt about it, Major League Baseball will, of course, have an investigation. And so will the police department. So there it is, and the Dodgers as well. So Trevor Bauer in a bit of a hot water. We'll see how this thing all plays out. But not good news. There's also a lawsuit filed by Tyler Skaggs' family against the Los Angeles Angels. You will remember that the former Angels pitcher died of a drug overdose while with the team. And then we later find out that the drugs were supplied by an employee of the Angels. So the family is now suing the Angels. This will be very interesting to see how this thing all shakes out. But the Angels have something on their hands that they will have to figure out as they go forward. But so much legal news in baseball this week.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast a longtime friend of mine, one of the best baseball writers in the country, Kevin Kernan from Ball9.com. He writes a column twice a week. Also does some writing for Aaron Rodgers' website. Kevin, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Rob, always great to be with you. We've had, if I go through my pictures, I see you and me at a lot of ballparks together getting a picture taken.
No doubt about it. Kev, let's start with Ohtani in the Bronx on Broadway, and he hasn't disappointed. 3 home runs in the first 2 games. He was scheduled to pitch Wednesday night. Just talk about Ohtani, the two-way star, and what the Yankees really missed out on when he picked the Angels.
Well, yeah, that's a great point, and writing a column about that for Ball 9. I've been on this since early April. I've been predicting all these Yankee problems because I just saw it coming. They're too far into the nerd game. Cashman, when Stick, here's the background. When Stick Michael passed away, that's when basically the voice, the baseball voice to Hal Steinbrenner was lost. Cashman got total control. He went total nerd, total analytics, and this is where we're at. The Yankees have made a lot of mistakes. Ohtani, they couldn't get Ohtani. So here's the key word, Rob, and we've heard this word before, and I call them out on it. They pivoted. They pivoted to Stanton. So you're trying to get a left-handed power hitter, which you desperately need, and you can't get Ohtani, so you pivot to a slow-footed right-handed guy who's always hurt. So it was a mistake right from the beginning. Ohtani should be – all I know is if George was around, Ohtani's a Yankee, somehow it gets done. You don't let that get away. And we've seen what he's done. And tonight, we have a great matchup, but the Yankees have no sense of theater. And they're giving Aaron Judge a day off. You know, he needs a rest day. And so we don't get that great at-bat in the very first inning, Ohtani versus Judge. So, you know, it's everything they've done is really gone away from baseball. Meanwhile, teams like the Rays and the Red Sox, Alex Cora, you and I know Alex a long time. Alex, he desperately wants to beat you. He will do whatever it takes. Over the weekend when they beat the Yankees, swept them, he loved bringing in Garrett Whitlock, who they stole from the Yankees in the Rule 5 draft. He not only puts the knife in you, he likes to twist the knife a little bit. So that's the difference, the competitive level. Are the Yankees dead completely? Not yet, because there's so many bad teams. But they've really put themselves in a hole.
Kevin, you brought up Brian Cashman. And for a general manager to say, basically, we suck, and to put it out there, and he did, I'll give him credit, he did take responsibility and not put it on manager Aaron Boone, because this is definitely a personnel problem with the Yankees and the type of players. So Brian Cashman, has he been there too long? Maybe it's time for a change.
Well, here's a stat I use, and we've known Cash a long time, but once he got away from his baseball people, that's key. He changed. He changed how he runs the team. So here's a stat that puts it all in perspective, Rob, for everyone. Since 2003, the Yankees have won as many World Series as the Marlins. One. And they're spending $200 million this year and everything. So, yeah, I think the pressure's really on him now. He's really had a cakewalk and no accountability. That's why there's no accountability with the team. And yeah, he says the Yankees suck, but he has sucked about this. It's a right-handed hitting team they can be pitched to. We know what's going to happen to the Yankees. Even if they make the postseason, it's going to be like past postseason. Good pitchers will shut them down. They don't play good defense. The stat I look at, Rob, here's a huge stat. Huge stat. Runners in scoring position, we all know about that, but here's what I look at. With runners in scoring position, the Yankees have hit up until two days ago, up until the game yesterday, they hit 14 doubles all year. They don't slash. They don't hit the ball to the gaps. They don't run the bases well. They finally hit two the other day after I printed that stat. Maybe I woke somebody up. But the Astros have 48 doubles with runners in scoring position. So they haven't hit with runners in scoring position. They haven't defended well. On the pop fly with Devers scores the other day to first base, Voit had no idea he was coming home. Nobody talks to each other. You know, nobody's pointing out things. They really miss that, you know, and Jeter can't play forever, but they need that cog, that guy who should be Jeter. And the other mistake they made, and I said it 2 years ago, getting rid of Didi was killer. They lost a left-handed bat, the guy who was a leader in the clubhouse, and also did a solid job at shortstop. They think anyone can play anywhere. You can't move Labor Torres to shortstop. It's affected his game completely, and now that's why he's struggling now.
Our guest is Kevin Kernan, longtime New York baseball writer, wrote for the Post for a million years, now a columnist with ball9.com. He writes a column twice a week. And when you look at the Yankees as we go forward as well, you can't help but talk about Guggate and Gerrit Cole and whether they got sold a bill of goods for $324 million. How do you think this is going to shake out? Will Gerrit Cole bounce back, you know, and be the guy who was as dominant with the goo, or is this a bad sale here?
Yeah, Guggate, I love that, and it could be a terrible signing. But I will say this: I have faith in this kid. Here's the thing that people don't realize about Gerrit Cole: he sometimes thinks too much, and we've been around guys like that forever, you know. So he gets into the spin rates, he gets into all this. He also relied very heavily. One of his best friends, his father was Matt Keogh, the former pitcher, who was a great scout, great pitcher, and he passed away last year. So he lost that sounding board of a veteran pitcher who really helped him out with things. Matt Keogh needs to do what DeGrom is doing. Ride your fastball. Forget about spin rate. Command your fastball. Challenge with your fastball. His fastball, and when you command your fastball, you're not leaving 3-0 fastballs right down the middle of the plate or leadoff fastballs to Kiki Hernandez right down the middle of the plate. That's what he has to do. So I think that Guggate, if he really takes it as a challenge, because the Yankees have a very young pitching coach, Matt Blake, who's into sequencing and all that stuff. And it's not about sequencing. If you can beat somebody, you beat them. You read their swings and you react off their swings. So I think there's still a chance for a sunny day for Gerrit Cole if he makes those adjustments, because he does have good stuff. You can't say he doesn't. He's a hard worker. This is the kind of kid. He went to the UCLA when I was covering him in spring training like a year ago. When we were still down in the clubhouse, he ran over to where the UCLA team was having a softball tournament over in Clearwater. He ran over to it, you know. So he's a good sports kid. He just needs to get away from the nerds a little bit and just start being a little tougher physically and mentally.
All right, there it is, Kevin Kernan, one of my best friends in baseball and a hell of a writer. Check him out on ball9.com. Kev, we'll do it again. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I need a haircut, too, so you can take care of me, buddy.
Always. You know it.
Take care.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
I know people keep talking about Shohei Ohtani, but I really don't think we can talk enough about what he's doing this season. It's made even more crazy by comparing him to his peers. Let's start with pitching. Sure, he's great, obviously. 2.58 ERA, fifth in the American League, better than Gerrit Cole and Tyler Glasnow. His strikeout percentage of 33.1%, also fifth, better than Lucas Giolito. Opponents hitting 188 off him, better than Yu Darvish, including an absurd 086 against his splitter. Yeah, as a hitter, He's elite. Not only does Shohei lead all of baseball in extra base hits, he's only behind Vladdy Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. in OPS and slugging. Going deeper, he leads the league in barrels and barrel rate, and his average exit velocity is only behind guys like Judge, Vladdy, Acuna, and Machado, while his hard hit percentage, the number of hits above 95 miles an hour, is only behind Judge. But that's not all. He's one of only three players this season with 20 homers and 10 steals, joining Tatis and Acuna, and he has a sprint speed of 28.9 feet per second. Anything above 30 is considered elite, faster than guys like Whit Merrifield, Cedric Mullins, and Trevor Story. Plus, he'll be the first Japanese-born player and first pitcher in the Home Run Derby in a few weeks in Colorado. He's a unicorn. He's captain of the varsity team. He is literally doing it all.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Hey, Rob, we got some interesting games over the weekend. Friday's menu looks awfully good. Dodgers are in D.C. against the Nationals. Padres and Phillies from Philadelphia. And the Mets and the Yankees, I know New York, the Mets, that is. They've been led by Jacob deGrom. He's not pitching in this ballgame on Friday. They're going up against Gerrit Cole, though. They've been laboring as of late. Yankees only a couple games over 500. I'm not going to touch them at all in this weekend series. Games that I will be looking at. First off, I'm looking at the Angels and Orioles. That game is in Anaheim. I'm taking the Angels in this one. Shohei Ohtani continues to swing a red-hot bat. I'm taking the home team in that affair. I'm also taking the Giants. They're in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Alex Wood will be throwing for San Francisco in that contest. And I'm also taking the Chicago White Sox. They're on the road against your lowly Detroit Tigers. Lance Lynn is on the bump. 7-3 this season, ERA at 2.06. I'm taking the White Sox and the victory in that one as well.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's trash comes from Da Bronx, D-A-B-R-O-N-X, from M. Brown at Promeo161, and he is not happy with Googate, and he tweeted me this. The Yanks got scammed by Gerrit Cole for $324 million. No sticky stuff. Now he's back to who he was in Pittsburgh, and I'm pissed. If you want to have your trash on the podcast, hit me up on my Twitter at RobParkerFS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the program Brandon Carr, who is a content reporter for MLBBro.com, and he has a piece on the website today, July 1st, which of course is Bobby Bonilla Day. Brandon, welcome to the podcast, and tell us, for all the people who don't know, why today is Bobby Bonilla Day.
Today is a special day. Especially people of color, for outsmarting the men and getting one over on the men. So Bobby Bonilla, back in 1999, he was owed, I want to say, almost $6 million. But due to the Mets being involved with a Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, they didn't have the money to pay him. And so they basically just like, oh, man, we just work at the deal and just get you away from us, man. And we'll just pay you over $1.2 million starting in 2011 for 24 years, and we give you 8% interest rate. Whatever. So they was thinking that, you know, the cost or the price of inflation or whatever may be down. It may not be up or whatever. So it's like a gamble. And he's like, you know what? I'll take the deal, whatever. And long story short now, he's one of the Mets' highest paid players still. He hasn't played baseball for the Mets since 1999. So it's a glorious day for black baseball players.
It is crazy that the Mets could make a deal, Brandon, where they owe somebody $5.9 million, and instead, from 2011 to 2035, I mean, this is 2021. He still has 14 years, and on July 1st of every year, he's going to get $1.9 million a year. Who in the world could have come up with this idea? When you do your research and you were writing your story, about this. Did you scratch your head and say, how did this happen?
Yeah. You have to give all props to, one, like you said, Bobby Bonilla, but two, it was his agent. I believe his name was like Dennis Gilbert, and hopefully that's his name. And, you know, he had got called into the office, and he was just working out in the negotiations or whatever with the organization. And he was like, you know what? He conversated with Bobby Bonilla. Bonilla was down for deferred payments. And at the time, you know, it's not really new for players of that magnitude to have deferred payments. But like I said, he was like, you know what? I'll take it. It is what it is. I have some money for the future. Why have all the money right now? I have some money when I'm an old man. And like I said, it just came to fruition. He looked like a genius right now. So you got to give it to him and give it up to his agent as well.
No doubt about it. I mean, I see Bobby Bonilla every so often at All-Star games and see him around. Always has a big smile on his face, and for good reason, because anybody who could broker a deal like this and still have another 11 years to go is pretty amazing. But thanks for that piece on MLBBro.com. Check out Brandon Carr's work on the site. And Brandon, thanks for joining the podcast. We appreciate it.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball.
Cowboy!
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones Whitner. I hope everyone is doing well and getting ready for this upcoming holiday weekend. Something interesting happened this past week. Usually around this time of the year, barbershop talk is straight about NBA playoffs. However, this time, one of the barbers randomly goes, "Yo, Vlad Jr. is type nice," which transitioned to a convo about father and son athletes. In my eyes, there's an actual difference when you're living in an era and you have the opportunity to actually watch these guys play on a day-to-day basis versus watching old highlights on YouTube. I'm definitely envious of the generation before me that got a chance to experience both the Griffies on the same team. I caught Griffey around the middle of his stint with the Reds. And don't get me wrong, he was a great player, but he was an actual phenom on the Mariners. That leads me to why it's so special to watch Vladdy Jr. I actually grew up having the opportunity to watch his pops play, and I remember him vividly for swinging at everything and still making contact. Yeah, there's a lot of players who are currently in the show whose pops played professionally. In fact, some on Vladdy's team. But it's extremely rare when both pops and son played at an extremely high level. I would advise everyone to cherish these moments in sports, especially the younger generation, because you're going to blink and Tatis III is going to be playing short for the Yankees. And you're going to think to yourself, where did the time go? The beautiful part about it is that as long as there's baseball, this cycle will continue to happen.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Reason number 1,566 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL is because of the All-Star game. Yes, you know, the NBA, they kind of took it away from the fans and gave it to the players. It's the fans' game. The fans should decide who they want to see. And the best part, right now, we're in phase two of the All-Star voting, so there's still time and for people to decide who they want to see as starters in the All-Star games. There's names like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto, Max Muncy. They're all vying for to be starters in the All-Star game. So if you're a fan and you haven't voted, you still have time. So you can Google MLB All-Star ballot to get your ballot. And fans can keep voting for their favorite players until today, Thursday, July 1st at 2 p.m. Eastern. So if you're listening to the podcast and it's before 2 p.m. Eastern, you still have time. Or you can just go to MLB.com/vote and you can vote for your favorite player. You can vote daily on all kinds of platforms, including once a day on MLB.com. But the All-Star game, which I will attend in Denver coming up, I can't wait. It's still the best All-Star game, and it's the best because the fans have the final say. in the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.